Okay, let's talk about headship. Everybody got headship figured out? No problem? Let's move on. Anybody want to talk about headship? Okay, let's talk about it. There are three words that describe headship. Now, this is all going to be in this workbook, but I thought it'd be more interesting rather than kind of go through a dry Bible study. We're just going to talk to you from experience is what headship really is. There are three words that describe headship. The first word, you guys are looking up there going, now, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. This is for women. That's the woman word, right? Submission. That's her job. She's supposed to be submissive to me. Well, guys, I got news for you. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says that man is head over the woman as Christ is head of man. So you got the picture? Here's Christ. Here's you. Here's the woman. Okay? So, here's the way it works in submission. I know we were thinking that's her job. Well, guess what? It's your job. Your wife can submit to you as long as you're submitted to the Lord. Okay? As long as she sees in your life a submissive spirit to Him and what He's doing and what His agenda is, she can submit to that. That's a piece of cake. Denise can submit to me when she sees in me a submitted spirit to Him. You follow that? Now, this word submission for us as guys is really tough. I mean, as men, we're called to be strong leaders and take charge and all that. And to submit, wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? But this is the biblical principle that we're called upon, guys, to do, be submissive to the Lord so that our wives can be submissive to us. In fact, here's the way it works. You know, we get to be an example to our wives. Our wives ought to look at us and see an example of submissiveness so that they can submit to us by how we're submitted to the Lord. You follow that? We get to be an example of that. Everybody on track with that? Submission. Submission. We're going to talk some more about that word in a different context. But as a man, to be submitted to the Lord as your head of your home is critical. Very, very critical. Okay? The second word is authority. You guys, anybody work for a company, big company or a small company? How many companies in here, tell me, are there two CEOs? Can y'all name me one? Where there's two guys that are, equally in charge. You just don't see that. Why is that? I mean, the buck has to stop somewhere, right? It's just got to stop somewhere. Someone has got to be in charge of the home, okay? And the way the Lord set it up is we're in charge. The man is the head of the home. But if you see that little word, derived authority, you know what the word derived means? It means it's you earn it. Okay? Do y'all remember the story of the Roman centurion in the Bible? Everybody remember that story? There's a story in there about a Roman centurion, I'll just tell you. Back then, just think about this, back in Roman times for a second here. When a Roman centurion gave an order to his troops, and those troops, when he gave an order, who was he speaking for? Caesar, wasn't he? I mean, he was basically saying, I'm speaking Caesar's words. You better obey because he's speaking through me, right? That's exactly the same principle here. The only reason we have a derived authority is because we are under Christ, okay? It's not because we're any smarter, guys. I don't know about y'all, but my wife's probably a whole lot smarter than I am. I wouldn't say that in front of her. But, really, we're not any smarter. We're sure not any better looking. Come on. So it's not something we've earned in terms of what we've done. It's a derived authority. The reason we've been put in control is because we're under Christ. Okay? You earn that. And so we as men think being head of our homes is just muscling up. By golly, I'm in charge here. Now, come on. We think that's being head of your home. That's not being head of your home, guys. That's not what it is. That's not what men muscling up and saying, I'm stronger than you are, therefore you. That's not being head of your home. The only reason you're head of your home is because the Lord put you in the head of your home. Now, you need to be in charge, okay? But it's a derived authority. Not anything you deserve, you've earned, it's earned because of your submissive to the Lord. Are we following there? Are we tracking okay on that? Okay? The third word is love. Boy, you talk about an abused word. One pastor was counseling this guy, and he was having trouble with his wife, and he says, he asked the guy, you know, well, what is love to you? And he said, well, Pastor, you know, it's that funny feeling you get when you meet the right girl. And the pastor goes, man, that could have been a pickle in your hamburger you ate the night before, buddy. You know, that's not what love is. I love this definition here. Giving what is needed without expecting anything in return. You know, that's good. That's a biblical definition of love because you guys know, I guess, if you've studied Bible scripture much, I guess at all, you know, the Greeks had three definitions of love, agape, eros, and those three different kinds of love. Well, this is agape love, which is agape love is a love of the will. You know what I mean? It's a choice. If you guys are familiar at all with Ephesians 5, it's not a suggestion, guys. It says a man should love his wife as Christ loves the church. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? What did He do? He literally gave His life for the church, didn't He? He gave what was needed. What was needed? We need somebody to save us from our sins. We need it, you know, without expecting anything in return. That's what Christ did for us, right? So as men, if we're going to buy into this definition of love as being head of our homes, we got to understand what are my wife's needs. And this is something I had to, you know, had to learn and go through as God was teaching me. Because, I mean, early marriage, after this 7-year deal, it was like, we got to do something different. And so God started bringing some people and books and the Holy Spirit and through prayer, some truths about what does it really mean to love your wife sacrificially. I read the Bible. I mean, come on, what does that mean? Well, if we're going to buy off on this definition of love, okay, giving what is needed, without expecting anything in return, we've got to ask ourselves, then what does my wife need from me as a husband, okay? Relationally as a husband, what are my wife's needs? Well, let's talk about those.